Welcome. My perspective this week will of course be the great football action that was this past weekend and recent current events. Let us start with the action from the NFL and college football this weekend, which was great for some teams, not so great for a host of others. Normally, the football week kicks off with the Thursday night game, but not this week, because the New York Jets decided to let go of their head coach after a mere 5 games into the season, setting off many questions and a cloud of controversy over the team. The decision was reportedly made because of how the team was playing, primarily the offense that continued to play below expectations. Owner Woody Johnson felt that he had the best roster ever in his tenure as owner, so he did not want to squander the opportunity. Johnson said he did not consult with his star quarterback, only his general manager Joe Douglas, regarding his decision to fire a coach for the first time in a season during his quarter of a century tenure as owner of the New York Jets. There were calls between Aaron Rodgers, Woody Johnson, and Chris Johnson that night, coincidentally, but supposedly there was no mention of the pending termination, just simply a call to see how their battered quarterback, who was hit quite a bit. On to the on-field action. The week started with the San Francisco 49ers traveling to Seattle to take on their division rival Seahawks. The Niners dominated much of the game, even though the Seahawks made it close for a short while. This might be the game that gets the Niners going, but it gets them back to 500. On Saturday, there was a great slate of games as usual. The Texas Longhorns completely dominated their rival the Oklahoma Sooners, overwhelming the inexperienced Sooners quarterback that has great potential. Quinn Ewers returned after missing a few games with injury and got going after a somewhat slow start. This was the first Red River rivalry game with both teams being in the SEC. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish completely dominated the Stanford Cardinal. Alabama won a close game, which still raises concerns of when the Crimson Tide will find its identity under new coach DeBoer. The Georgia Bulldogs won as they now prepare to head to Austin for a big matchup with the number one team in the Longhorns. But what a nightcap in Eugene between the University of Oregon Ducks against the Ohio State Buckeyes. A back-and-forth game between the number 2 and number 3 teams in the nation, both representing the Big Ten. The Ducks held on to win against the Buckeyes with their former head coach and offensive coordinator. Really great game. Also, Penn State won in overtime against the Trojans of Southern Cal. But I think the clear theme from college football this year is the new teams are making noise in their new conferences. The Longhorns lead the polls as a new member of the SEC, and the Ducks are right behind them as new members of the Big Ten. Now, on to the Sunday action. My Philadelphia Eagles won at home against the Browns in a close matchup that probably should not have been that close. The Eagles continue to give the fan base reason to doubt. Nick Sirianni got a bit too heated and chirped at Eagles fans, which is not something you want to see a head coach do. The Eagles will now travel up to MetLife Stadium for Saquon's return to New Jersey to take on his former team, the New York Giants, a team that lost a somewhat winnable game against the Bengals, who are clearly not a real threat to the Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, or Steelers at this point. They have a Battle of Ohio next week to see who gets to be at the bottom of the AFC North. How about them Cowboys? The Cowboys made history on Sunday. Their 47-9 loss to the Detroit Lions was the largest margin of defeat in the history of Jerry Jones' ownership of the team, and the only game in league history to end with that score. Not the kind of birthday gift Jerry Jones was looking for. The Cowboys are dealing with injury issues and poor play. According to Stephen A. Smith, the Cowboys are ranked last or near last in almost every stat category. But they are still at 500, one game behind Washington and a half behind the Birds. The Commanders lost to the Ravens, by the way. The Ravens head coach John Harbaugh was more worried about the health of his brother Jim, who had a reoccurrence of a heart issue he apparently had with the Niners. Jim Harbaugh missed the beginning of the game, but returned to finish coaching another victory. This was over the Broncos. The Packers and Bears both are 4-2 following their wins this weekend. The Packers beat the Cardinals and the Bears defeated the Jaguars, whose leadership team received a vote of confidence, which they immediately squandered. On Monday night, the Buffalo Bills visited the New York Jets, who were debuting a new head coach. The Bills have issues. They really do not rise to the moment. I understand it is difficult to win in the NFL and division matchups are a crapshoot, but the Bills are not disciplined in big games, and Aaron Rodgers and the Jets looked pretty competent for a team that has been underperforming for a great deal of the season. The Bills won 3. Now to America's pastime. The baseball playoffs continue for the New York teams, Cleveland, and the Dodgers, but not my Phillies, who won the NL East but became the third straight East winner to lose in their first playoff series following the bye. In the past 2 seasons, it was the Phillies pulling the upset over the Braves, but this time the Mets prevailed. I still think the new format is interesting, and teams with the bye have to figure out how to keep their players engaged. For my Phillies, the issues stem all the way back to the series following the All-Star break. They simply were not the same team, and it continued through to the end. We definitely need a more reliable bullpen and some positional upgrades, but the Phillies will be in contention next year. They have the talent. Now, I hope to see the Yankees capture their 28th title or the Dodgers get a championship with Ohtani. Now, let us move to a different topic. On LinkedIn recently, I read a post discussing the flexibility or lack of flexibility a job seeker felt that a company provided them with. In the post, the person seemed annoyed at the assumption the company made that they would take a day off from their current position to spend time interviewing with the company. The person argued that using PTO was not easy when job seeking while employed. Many workers feel that taking PTO for an interview can be risky as the company may be tipped off that they are pursuing a new position. Seems like some of the commenters prefer to do the interviewers on the existing company's time in a remote environment. I understand the sentiment that you do not want to risk upsetting your current situation interviewing for a new position that you may be passed over for. It is a real risk. Why put yourself in a situation where you do not get selected for a job and your current employer may decide to terminate you or end any hope of advancement because you are clearly looking elsewhere? It is a risk and delicate balance we all have had to do at some point in our careers. Personally, I believe that you have to be fair to both companies and yourself. Regardless of how you feel about your current employer, you still have responsibility to them. You need to make a good impression on the new company if you want to earn your spot. Also, you want to advance your situation and position yourself to build off this new momentum. One thing I would suggest is that you do not interview while on the clock at your existing employer if you can help it. That is disrespectful to the existing employer and negates your sentiment for not wanting to use your PTO. To the best of your ability, you should want to leave on good terms, especially if a reference is required. A well-planned job search should involve reserving PTO days to use for interviewing. While maximizing paid time off payments is important, it should not be more important than putting yourself in the best position to land a new role. The whole goal in a job search is to give a new company reasons to hire you, not showing red flags to raise concern about your candidacy. In the past, I have always asked contacts with the companies I was scheduling interviews with to give me as much notice as possible, making it clear upfront that I am not able to step out of my role without reasonable notice. I do not think it hurts to ask the company what the interview schedule looks like and if it requires you to be on site for the whole day, half a day, or just an hour or so. Then make the decision at that point. Ideally, companies will be as flexible as possible to recruit the best talent, but the best talent needs to make themselves available as well. Despite what those close to you may tell you, many potential candidates are not much different than others in the pool. So any issues with scheduling with one may open the opportunity for another who simply was available. Like they say in sports, the best ability is availability. There is always a risk that you may waste a day, not get the job, and now have to deal with issues with your leadership or just manage the perception. Sometimes, that lost day may make it harder if you have too many of those days in a brief period. This is why you really should plan ahead and try to communicate for the purpose of managing expectations. I know some people who have worked to try to coordinate scheduling interviews in the same week or beginning of one and end of another so that the PTO use looks normal. You have PTO, you should use it, especially if you feel like that day could reasonably lead to a bigger opportunity. LinkedIn is good for communication between professionals, job seekers, recruiters, hiring managers, and everything in between. I think it is important for people to have the right perspective on things. For most job seekers, you will have to be more flexible than the company you are looking to join. Depending on the company, they may have the position that fits you the best, while you may be one of many that could fit that department or team. For some, their resume and reputation may precede themselves and afford them more flexibility than the average candidate would get. That is life. The better you are and the more people know, the more opportunities and leeway you will get. Even without it, you can make the right decisions and negotiate to get to where you need to be. Life is about choices, not excuses. You cannot expect anyone to lay out your opportunities for you perfectly. You have to adapt, commit, and execute a well-thought-out plan to achieve success in most avenues in life. For the person raising the real or fabricated question, you should communicate with the company and then determine your PTO usage, or just take the risk.